The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's time to talk about the weekend sport with Colin Bouygues, broadcaster from Off the Ball. Colin, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, there's only one story as far as I'm concerned, and that was the Grand National win for Willie Mullins as trainer, first, second, third and fifth, yeah. But the winning horse, Nick Rocket, ridden by his son, Patrick.
Incredible. 33-1, Nick Rocket was. And as I was going to say to you, 1, 2, 3, 5. And that was put to Willie Mullins afterwards. He said, I'll have to improve next year to get the fourth as well. Because he rode, Michael Dickinson was very close. He got the first five in 1983 at Cheltenham. So like that's what you're talking about in history. But we previewed this, Pat, on Friday, and I Am Maximus was favourite. And also another Willie Mullins horse, of course, came second. But the story is remarkable, and the emotion that Willie had himself afterwards talking about his parents, saying that he wished my parents was here to see this. And he actually had to ask the interviewer to move on to another topic because he was getting so emotional. Yeah. It's incredible.
Now, he never thought that Patrick would actually be a jockey, and he is an amateur and he's not a professional jockey. I think he's 6'1" or 6'2".
So that's exactly it. He doesn't have the build. It doesn't look like your typical jockey. And like you say, he doesn't have the status either, technically an amateur. So to do it is remarkable. The way that the race is won as well, it was kind of captured at the end, as I say, 33-1. And it was I Am Maximus that everyone was looking at.
And I Am Maximus was top weight. So
absolutely, yeah. And then, like, it wasn't just that as well. Like, Grange Clare as well came third. And was a Meeting of the Waters came fifth. So it's a remarkable achievement. And look, Woody Mullins has had Grand National success before, so that's not new, but it was the way he's done it in that 1, 2, 3 and 5.
And I think the backstory of the ownership of Nick Rocket is quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
The owner is, Stuart Andrew, and his wife, Sadie. And he said, it was Sadie's horse, not mine.
Exactly, yeah. And that's where the emotion stemmed from, totally. And like we're used to Woody Mullins having like a lot of wisecracks, and being quite jovial in a kind of understated type of way that he sees the funny side of life. But he was very emotional after this. And I've been struck by the last month or so after Cheltenham too, that just how emotional these owners, trainers and jockeys get in the aftermath of these races.
We're told that he took communion with Stuart Andrew before the race.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
You know, there's so much going on. Sadie died 5 days after Nick Rocket's first race.
Exactly, yeah.
And she was the one who insisted, I think Willie may have bought the horse for her, you know, that she wanted him to buy a horse, and he did, and this is the horse. And it goes on to win the Grand National with Patrick on board. It is a Disney movie.
And there was a butterfly on the horse afterwards as well. Yeah, it's amazing.
Anyway, that was the story of the weekend. Some of the stories we thought might make the top headline, of course, did not. The Manchester Derby.
It's one of the worst matches I've ever seen. My God. I couldn't help but agree with Gary Neville, who was lamenting the state of many Premier League games at the end of the first half yesterday, where it's so system-based, Pat, that it's fine, the ball is retained very well, everyone's a much better technical player than they were compared to their peers 20 years ago. Very few risks are being taken. You saw it in the Manchester Derby. There was so few opportunities of note. I usually make notes during the game, Pat, to talk about an off-the-ball breakfast. I had so few in this. There was a save by Ederson in the second half. There was one by Onana. And the rest of the game was just played in the middle.
And then United had their chances, in fairness.
They did. I mean, look, the first minute was the big chance of the game when Alejandro Garnacho was through on goal. He got brought down by Ruben Diaz just outside the box. There was a free kick taken by Bruno Fernandes, who, by the way, was probably the best player on the pitch, got awarded player of the match by Sky, and I would agree with it. By far the standout United player, certainly. But it was just a load of players going through the motions. Mm. Maybe they're fatigued, Pat, with the intense schedule, but it was a dour affair.
And also their only hope of Champions League football is through the Europa. So
the Europa League is the big thing for them. Yeah.
And as long as they survive in the Premier League, and it looks like they will.
Southampton created history, Pat, as the earliest side to be relegated when they lost 3-1 yesterday to Spurs.
Liverpool lose as well.
Yeah.
I mean, do they think it's in the bag? Why bother?
It goes back to this kind of underwhelm that many people are feeling this Monday morning with the Premier League. They lost 3-2 away to Fulham at Craven Cottage yesterday, Liverpool. It's their first away defeat since the 24th of April last year, which is actually, funnily enough, the Merseyside derby at Goodison. It's only Liverpool's second loss this season. The other was right at the start of the season at home to Nottingham Forest. They've been imperious. They're thoroughly deserving of their place, well at the top of the league. Nobody's going to catch them. And why is that the case, Pat? Because the day before, Arsenal dropped 2 points. Yeah. They drew 1-1 away to Everton.
In the women's game, a victory over Greece.
Yes, Friday afternoon, seems like a long time ago now. It was a dour first half as well, 0-0 at half time. Katie McCabe started on the bench. She's nursing a light injury. She came on at the break, and that changed the game, along with Marissa Shiva, who was the other substitute at the interval. Shiva scored within minutes of the second half. starting, and Ireland ran out 4-0 winners in the end. So they've thankfully cancelled out the 4-0 defeat to Slovenia last time out, and now they play Greece again tomorrow night in Tallaght.
And we shall see how that pans out. Now, Cork, exultant this morning.
What a great word to describe it, Pat. Yeah. So for the first 19 minutes in the league final in Super Valley Park Week against Tipperary yesterday, the lead was exchanged four times. Okay, so the opening quarter was very tight between Cork and Tipperary, their first league final meeting since 1960. But from the 20th to the 35th minute, Cork scored three goals. I think they outscored Tip something like 3-18 to 4 points. It was incredible. And Cork have been gluttons for goals this year. Even the last three games, Cork have scored 13 goals, but they haven't conceded any goals either, Pat. Right. So they're an incredible proposition and a bit of an intimidating one for others. They play Clare on Sunday week in Ennis for the start of the Munster Championship. For now, they can regale in winning the league.
Now, the football championship has started.
Championship started a bit underwhelming. Look, a lot of the scores were kind of predicted. So, for example, in the Connacht Championship, Mayo beat Sligo yesterday in McHale Park, but narrowly enough, only by 3 points. Galway, of course, were in Gaelic Park in New York, where they handily beat New York yesterday evening, Irish time. But probably the standout was the one and only game in the Ulster Championship to start it off, which was yesterday afternoon, where Donegal beat Derry. Again, not a great game. It simmered. Darrow Boyle was excellent for Donegal. Derry missed the penalty as well. There was one goal each exchanged, but Donegal were always that little bit better. They made the most of the two points. That was the big thing.
Now, in rugby, Leinster had an extraordinary win.
I thought you'd start with Munster, but we'll start with Leinster.
No, we'll come to Munster because we have to mention Mick O'Dwyer as well in that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good shout, actually. Yeah. No, Leinster, they annihilated Harlequins on Saturday afternoon in Croke Park, 62-0, in case anyone missed this, because Harlequins
missed tries.
They missed it. They were relatively competitive for about a quarter of an hour. They nearly scored a try. They got held up. Lee Halfpenny had an effort from distance, but that was about it. But look, Leinster, it's not Leinster's fault, but they made the most of this. They made Harlequins give up halfway through that second half. Harlequins, they were barely even trying, Pat. Yeah. And Leinster were able to afford to bring Jordy Barrett on, a remarkable performance.
Now Munster, to Munster, yeah, so and that got miracle against La Rochelle.
Well, you correctly mentioned Mick O'Dwyer, so Ron O'Gara was behind that. So an image is put up on screen and Marcel de Flandre in France. But what a game. 24-25 it finished with Munster prevailing in the end. It was a story of yellow cards. Every time a player got sin-binned, the other team scored a try. It was a remarkable match. La Rochelle thought they'd scored in the first minute.
And then,
ruled
of course,
out.
A drop goal to haunt Ronan O'Gara.
And he said, what's the word he used? He said it was ironic, I think, that the match was ultimately won like that, just the way Ronan O'Gara used to win games like that. Jack Crowley's drop goal in the 60th minute to put Munster 8 points clear, but there was only 1 point in it at the end.
And finally then, Colm, in the Japanese Grand Prix, business as usual.
Mark Verstappen, no bother to him at all, a great performance, and he's on course again to do it all this year. Will we ever have a proper contender to Max Verstappen's majesty? I don't know.
Colm Bourke from Off the Ball, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.